8:23, my guest this morning is a Democratic candidate, the 12th Congressional District candidate, Ray Lindsey, is joining us this morning. Ray, first off, it's good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you, Tom, and hello out there to Southern Illinois from the Shawnee Hills down here in Union County where I live. I can see Kentucky from my front yard, literally.
Yeah, I tell you, I'm interested on a list of things that I want to show you or talk to you about this morning. First off, COVID occupies so much of the room right now on so many subjects. I mean, the vice presidential debate last night's a good example. So I'd like to kind of take the COVID filter off our eyes as much as we can and hit some of the topics that were important and will continue to be important after we're through COVID and through the duration of any term that anybody's elected to. First, 4 years ago, one of the biggest subjects, immigration. Illegal immigration. Even now, the report, published reports say there's another caravan heading towards the border from Central America. Immigration was one of the items that drove Trump to the White House. It is one of the issues where the Democrats and Republicans are 180 degrees apart. Your thoughts on immigration in the United States and its status and what should be done?
So I'm for secure borders and not for open borders. I'll say that. But I will say this. I was pretty, no. 5 years ago, I started Blue Casa Daycare Center and Head Start program working with migrant farm worker children. Some of them may have been documented, some may be undocumented. I think we have to have comprehensive immigration reform. People that have been here five years and have paid their taxes and haven't gotten in any trouble, we should have a system that moves those people into the legal status as citizens in the country. My grandfather was Italian. He came here. We were not those people, and I remember how people talked about Pagos in town, you know, talking about my grandfather. And I don't like to see immigrants mistreated. You know, with my grandfather, all he had to do was show up at the boat. And if he didn't have cholera or something, he got in the country. So, you know, and many of those undocumented people also feed us. They're what we're now calling essential workers. Isn't it interesting how we find out who the essential workers are when COVID hits? And yes, you may want to skip around COVID. Sorry. My boss can't avoid it, and neither can Donald Trump. The total failure of the Trump administration in the coronavirus crisis. It's a national tragedy. And I will say, moreover, if we had done as well as Germany had in controlling the disease and doing tracking and tracing and doing the disciplined things that either good business or good government are supposed to be about, we would have saved now nearly 175,000 lives. We have the worst performance on COVID in the world. It's a national tragedy and the total failure of the Trump administration and Mike Boss's silent complicity with good government. It shows incompetence, and it shows, in many ways, corruption to the sole goal of protecting
Ray, we're having serious phone problems right now. We're unable to understand about two-thirds of what you're saying. We're going to stop for a moment and going to make another phone call and see if we can get a more solid signal from Ray Lindsey, Democratic candidate for the 12th Congressional District. All right, we've tried to get a new connection with Ray Lindsey picking up. And Ray said, I wanted to avoid COVID-19. I don't want to avoid it, Ray. What I want to do is focus on the issues, once again, that were existing before COVID because they will continue to be issues. Now, you had just finished and we had a difficult time hearing you. But I'd like people to rejoin in that portion of the question saying, look, it can't be avoided. And you were talking about the president, Mike Boss. Let's pick that up there so people can hear your comments. Candidate Ray Lindsey.
Yes. Well, what I was saying is that the Trump administration is a total failure in handling the coronavirus. And it's unfolded an economic crisis on top of that. And Donald Trump won't support the HEROES Act, which would provide funding for our state and local police, firemen, civil servants, healthcare workers. And so, you know, clearly the problem right now is you have a chaotic president who is out of control, has no idea what he's doing in terms of running a responsible government, and is willing to torpedo the aid to the citizens because he thinks he's losing, and he probably knows he's losing, and so he wants to strike revenge by not providing some support for the people. And Mike Bost is still silent. Mike Bost has voted against the Affordable Care Act 33 times. It would cost 30 million people in the country their health insurance. It would cost 3,500 jobs in his own district, and about 50,000 people in his own district would lose health insurance. This is what the election is about. It is about issues that existed before COVID. But COVID has exposed them and exposed many of the injustices that we see in our society, the total income inequality, the tax breaks for the rich. I call on old Democrats out there. I know some of you voted for Trump and have become more Republican, and that's okay. But I call out to those people and say, remember when we had really good congressmen that actually served the people, like Kenny Gray and Paul Simon and Glenn Pritchard and Jerry Costello? It's time to return to the roots of the Democratic Party, which actually has always stood with the people against sort of specialized interests. And so we're the party that actually has a plan. Joe Biden has a plan. And actually, his economic plan and tax plan, nobody that makes less than $400,000 will pay more taxes. But those who make more, yes, will pay their fair share. So his plan and spending plan has been rated by both Goldman Sachs and Moody Analytics, shops that are some of the finest econometric projection shops in the world. And Biden's plan shows 4.5% more GDP growth over 4 years. Moreover, it creates 8 million more jobs. That's the central thing we're running on. The Democrats actually have a plan to deal with COVID, to deal with the economy, and to deal with climate change.
Good, because Ray, economy is next on our list here this morning. The economy was going gangbusters. You had low unemployment rates, had some great numbers on Wall Street, you had great numbers on Main Street. Where should we start rebuilding and how to rebuild the economy quickly after this, or will pent-up demand suffice to restart the economy?
Pent-up demand alone won't be enough. We need a strong fiscal stimulation. The Biden plan calls is outlined very specifically. You can find it on the web. And as I was just saying, Moody Analytics and Goldman Sachs econometric models have not exactly radical organizations, I might add, have rated it as superior by far to the current policies of the Trump administration. So the economy needs straightforward fiscal stimulation. That will include some jobs programs, certainly infrastructure. We haven't really had a big infrastructure bill since the late 80s in this country, since we're finishing the interstate highways. We need to modernize our whole electrical grid. We need investments across the board, and we need to move to as close to universal employment. That might also add, I would say, some programs like the old Civilian Conservation Corps, particularly for high unemployment areas. There's plenty that needs to be done, cleaning up parks, planting trees, filling potholes, all of the things that communities need. We need to keep our young people busy, especially right now with high unemployment. That's when young people get in trouble during periods of high unemployment. So our plan is the Biden plan, plus we add a couple specific things to our plan, which include what I call the coal miners' just transition, because I was a coal miner. I grew up in a coal mining family. My grandfathers were coal miners. My dad was a lifetime United Mine Worker. The biggest picture in our house was a picture of John L. Lewis on the wall in the dining room. And so I know about labor, and I know that we are that the coal miners should be taken care of. We propose a straight up 50% federal tax credit for the future wages and pensions of any coal miner or other energy worker as we make this transition to renewable energy, that would effectively guarantee their income adjusted for inflation over time. That's our proposal. It's very simple, but we do have to take action on climate change. I wrote my dissertation on the coal economy. In 1900, there were 125,000 miners producing 65 million tons of coal. Today, there's less than 3,000 producing about 45 million. In other words, almost as much. And most of those jobs were just lost from mechanization and automation. But our energy systems are going to change over the next 20 years, and it's going to come. So let's do it in a way that those people are honored. My father, my grandfathers, you know, that worked in the mines, they should be honored and put in a place in history because they brought us the energy that gave us modern electricity and all the modern conveniences. So, you know, that's part of our plan. We also propose what we call a regional development bank. It's something I was kind of working on in my career at the research park. We never quite got to where I'd like to be. I think we could really do something there to create more investment. This is a lovely region to live in. The cost of living is low. We just need to build some confidence and get out there. And I might add, Mike Bosch isn't even out there. He hasn't had a public meeting in 4 years. So we've actually made more than 200 appearances in public events in 12 counties in this district since this campaign began. And Mike Bost is silent. Mike Bost is out of touch. He has no plans, and he is silent on Trump's failure on COVID and now on the economy. So that's our campaign. Our campaign is we have a plan to go forward, not backward.
All right,
we the people, we the majority, and finally it's time to vote out Donald Trump and Mike Bosch.
Social justice is a big deal, whether coast to coast or whether you're in Chicago, Illinois. Right now, there needs to be some reconciliation. There needs to be compromise. What does there need to happen in Ray Lindsey's campaign, social justice and the issues that we face in the state of Illinois and across this country?
Well, as far as social justice, I mean, there's a lot of aspects of social justice. I mean, some of it is economic justice, and that's where I really fully support full employment programs and federal stimulus so that the hardest hit and higher unemployment areas get some relief. But the other aspect, I seem to be alluding to, you know, the issues over policing and so forth. And I'll just say, you know, that I have friends that are police, and they're almost all good officers, but I think that I do support, you know, no chokeholds. I do support a national registry so we can track police. As far as the issues of, you know, reallocation of resources to police, those are local decisions. Each community and each county and so forth is going to develop models. I mean, policing changes over time, so we have to see, you know, where that leads. But I definitely do not support what's called defunding police. So let's just be clear on that. But I think every community is going to work out, and the country's going to work out, you know, new models of policing, but also more broadly of social and economic justice.
All right. Ray, last week, yes. The United States hit the $27 trillion mark in national debt. A lot of things you've talked about cost money. Of course, everything does. But at what point do we start saying no and saying we have to look at our wallet and see what we can afford going forward? $27 trillion national debt. Some of that's because of COVID that's pushed us to that rate higher, but we were still just running to that finish line. What has to be done to get this under control?
Well, first of all, you still have to get the economy going. So because you have to have revenue to... But the other thing, and I'm not going to go too far into this because I have a PhD that includes a lot of study of economics, and modern monetary theory really says that when you can borrow money at close to 0%, that might be the time to borrow, and that's what's happening now. The other thing is basically the deficit becomes a problem primarily when inflation sets in. We're not having any inflation. So, you know, I follow Nobel economists like Paul Krugman, and I think that we can afford deficit spending for a while. I mean, obviously, we want to bring it back in balance, and that means that the wealthy and the big corporations, that's another part of the Biden plan, is that the big corporations like Amazon and Walmart and so forth that in many years have paid zero taxes. No, that's not right. Those companies have to chip in and help support the programs that the government has for health care and all of that. And so, that's our plan, is one that really calls for some stimulus. And but the deficits are not the serious issue right now. We have to get this economy going, and we have to get busy on some projects that need to be done.
All right, let's pick that up, because when you talk about the importance, and we're getting ready to run out of time, so we'll have to keep our comments brief as we move forward these final topics. People saying, most important election lifetime. They've said it before, but at face value, you can understand why people would be saying it a little more frequency this year. Why?
Well, we're facing four simultaneous crises. We had the global warming crisis before, then the pandemic, then the economic, and then in the wake of the George Floyd killing, we had the racial justice crisis. So many things are coming together. It happens to be the 100th anniversary of women winning the right to vote. And that's the one thing I will say, too. I don't really know the demographics of your listening audience, but the women are, in my opinion, going to be the savior of the country, because the women are breaking 60-40 against Trump because they see his foolishness and are tired of this kind of, I'll just say, antiquated alpha male gorilla display. And so they're going to the polls, and they're going to change the course of the country. Whether I can win this district, I know it's a tougher question, but I call on you out there, including the Trump voters, to take a look at who is proposing reasonable, honest government that is not simply backed by dark and dirty money of corporate super PACs, of Igor Fruman and Lev Parnas, the Russian people who put money in Boss' last campaign. We're running straight up on a referendum on Donald Trump and Mike Boss. We call this failed government, and we call for a new direction and change.
All right, before we let you go, final question comes from a listener who wants you to talk specifically about what needs to be done in your district. And the question is basically, what is Mr. Lindsay going to do with our district without talking about Donald Trump? That was the question that was posed by a listener.
Okay, the things that I would propose doing, and I'm going to stick to economic development and health care. First of all, I'm for expanding health care, which whatever the best model is that we can get through Congress, and lowering rates, and that will involve some federal spending. That is health care, whereas Boss just votes to repeal the ACA and does nothing and offers no alternative. The Republicans have no alternative. On economic development, I want to say that one, I propose big federal tax credits that will help with the transition of any coal miner or energy workers that lose their job over time, and will effectively give them a place in the new economy, a solid place in the new economy. And I support a regional development bank, which is unique because it will bring higher risk capital and loan money and consolidate it and stimulate the growth of jobs of the future. I do support old FDR, New Deal type jobs programs, particularly for young people in areas of high unemployment that might range from East St. Louis to Pulaski County and Caro and maybe parts of Franklin County or whatever. But the point is that I support a plan that actually exists, and it's on our website. You can look at it. And we actually have some plans. Not only that, we will go out and talk with the people. Mike Boss hides out. Donald Trump doesn't. Oh, I wasn't supposed to mention Donald Trump, so I'll stop there. But the point is that we actually have some plans and have legislation. Mike Boss hasn't written any significant legislation or introduced any big proposals or come up with any ideas. We have quite a number of innovative ideas we think that can help this region. As I've said, it's a lovely area to live in. I'm right here in the middle of the Shawnee Forest, and It has a short winter, which was one of the things that attracted me here from Central Illinois. And so we can do some things. We can do some things, but you know what? We have to have a government at the top that's moving forward and not backward. So
right.
that's our campaign is this is a failed government from Washington to our local congressman, and our campaign is for change and moving forward.